I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show as we take care of business here on a Tuesday morning. And happy that you are with us. We got lots to get to, including the debate over Amendment 3. I personally don't feel like there is much of a debate on Amendment 3, but there are people out there with different points of view. And surprisingly to me, there are people out there who might agree with us on most issues, but for some reason break on this abortion issue, whether it's how strict the Missouri law is, they think there should be exceptions to it or whatever. I can just tell you, Amendment 3 is not the answer, in my opinion. If they wanted to just make it, 15 weeks, or they wanted to do something like that, that's what they should have put in Amendment 3. It goes so much farther than that, in my opinion. But what we decided to do was bring two people in who had maybe the same point of view Kim and I do on one case, Brian Westbrook, and somebody who's on the opposite side of that, which is former Missouri Senator Jeff Smith, and let the two of them battle it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get to hear that conversation coming up here at the top of the next hour. 1 hour from now, we will have our debate on Amendment 3. And we just let them go at it, right? We introduce them and just let them go at it. And we're going to run it unedited in its entirety at the 8 o'clock hour. And then we're going to open up the phone lines at 314-241-9797 and get your thoughts on it when it's over with. And it'll be about runs 21, 22, 23 minutes, something like that, between about 8 and 8:30. And then we'll get to your phone calls.
I've had listeners who have reached out to me and said just what you mentioned, that they agree with me on a lot of things, but I lose them when I start talking about my stance on abortion. I've had men in particular reach out to me and say, why should I tell a woman what to do with her body? I think that this is just a sticking point for a lot of people. But to your point, Mark, Amendment 3 goes far beyond that. I mean, we're talking about surgeries, gender affirming care, as they call it, for minors. There's just so much more. So even if you're like thinking, well, I think there should be exceptions for abortion, I'm okay with that. But maybe you're not okay with the, surgeries where they chop off a child's genitals. If you're not okay with that, you still should vote no on Amendment 3.
I'm with you. You know how I feel about it. And you can listen to the debate right here 1 hour from now. In fact, voting starts today. So I think it's a key time for us to play this. And then, of course, after we air it, it'll be available on demand. If you want to if you don't get to listen to it today, you can pick it up on the podcast. We'll have it up there for you at 971talk.com or wherever you download your podcast. We appreciate that. Live on Facebook, Rumble, X this morning, YouTube. We got all the feeds up. Carl Middleman is back in studio with us this morning.
Hi there.
Carl, welcome back.
Thank you.
You have a hockey game tonight, don't you?
I do. That's why I came back, or else I would have stayed
in Florida. Yeah, you were in a better place than us, buddy. Although the weather has been picture perfect, and we don't have hurricanes here. So
no.
If we could just keep it like this all the time, we'd be a destination.
Well, for the first couple days, Governor DeSantis removed all the tolls.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Because they were shuffling people around and they had to evacuate. So there were no tolls in the state of Florida.
Well, that's how it really should be. And
yeah,
he was also giving away, so much free gas.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a really good leader. I mean, the state of Florida is lucky to have Ron DeSantis as their governor.
Yep. Normally, they're about 10 to 15 cents higher than we are. Same price gas here and there.
Wow.
Last week.
We need to go ahead and get to our top stories right now. We got a lot to get to this hour.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I'm all about common sense, right? And I don't judge people by their politics. I judge people whether, are you a douchebag? Okay.
Dana White, a UFC guy, on a podcast where they were asking him about his relationship with Donald Trump, and he just went on and on about why he thought Donald Trump was a great guy, and that the media has completely twisted that story.
the way he communicated with us, the way he greeted my children on the back seat, it was incredible. My kids were, I cannot just believe that I shook Donald Trump's hand. I'm not going to wash my hands for the next few days.
Yeah, she's not going to wash her hands. I don't know. After going to McDonald's, it's probably not a good idea. But yeah, she was talking about going through the drive-thru, being one of the lucky ones to have her food handed to her by President Trump.
And our adversaries know that they can play Donald Trump. They absolutely know that they can play him. And we simply can't afford to take that risk.
Liz Cheney, turncoat number one in America right now. Kinzinger's kind of faded into the background. This one is on stage with the woman she vilified back in 2019. And we're going to play that sound for you coming up here in just a minute.
Right wingers are coming after you for how you handled your shotgun.
Well, I can shoot better than all of them. I got the trophies to prove it.
Yeah, I'd like to see them. Let's see the trophies, Tim Walz, because you're not even sure how to handle a gun, let alone shoot it. I don't know. Maybe he did trap shooting or something. He's clearly not a bird hunter. That's for sure. You know, I was thinking about the Liz Cheney thing. You don't have to go very far to if you watched any of their interactions yesterday with Kamala and Maria Shriver up on stage. They were joking. They were cutting up. Go to cut number seven, Carl, please.
You know, everybody I talk to says, you know, I have to turn off the news. I can't read anything. I'm meditating. I'm doing yoga. I'm so anxious. I just don't even know. I'm eating gummies, all kinds of things, you know. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Not eating gummies.
Maybe vodka? I don't know what she's doing exactly. These are the hard-hitting questions Maria Shriver is asking Kamala Harris.
The
in
quote,
this town hall.
Predetermined questions. That
predetermined.
So do you think that they wrote the questions and just had the audience pretend like they came up with them? Or how do you think that whole thing went about?
I'm sure they wrote the questions. They cleared them with her handlers first. And here's what you don't appreciate, Kim. You need to understand that like people like Mika Brzezinski and Eugene Robinson over on MSDNC this morning, they appreciate something that you don't about these two women.
I just found it striking as well to see two women of wisdom and experience from two completely different backgrounds and two completely different points of view being the example, holding up the pillars of freedom together. It was really impressive.
And powerful women on that stage. And there was, I just felt really proud of that moment that they were carrying the banner for our democracy as we know it.
Yeah, talking about eating gummies with predetermined questions.
That
this
could be our future president.
Are. Oh,
Let's
I know.
Hope not.
Oh, it could very well could. I don't know. I've got the sound. I'll play it later of what Cheney said about Kamala just a few short years ago. And now she's completely switched strictly because of Trump derangement syndrome. Period. End of discussion. All right, coming up, Jay Ashcroft, Secretary of State, is going to join us. We'll talk more about election integrity and how long this ballot is and early voting and all of it right after this.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories,
ones you might not even know happened.
Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
AFS Missouri. And election officials encourage Missourians to vote before Election Day. Fox News' Chris Frenier is joining us live in St. Anne. And Chris, that election is just 2 weeks from today.
Yes, it is. Fox 2 covering the fact that you can start no excuse absentee voting today. And in fact, I did notice up on the Fox 2 website, they had a list of, I don't know, I'd say, Carl, maybe one of the better lists I've seen of the locations
right.
Locally, St. Louis County, Jefferson County, St. Charles County.
And the city
where you can actually go vote early because people may be wondering about that.
Yeah.
One person who knows all that is Jay Ashcroft, our Secretary of State. Jay, welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Pretty exciting. I mean, obviously, we're expecting some pretty high voter turnout in this general election. And here we've gotten things underway for everybody starting today, right?
Yes, and we're expecting turnout probably around 70%. And people can start voting today with the in-person early voting. One thing I need to remind everyone is you must have that government-issued photo ID. There are no provisional ballots as part of early voting. We've got to keep it secure.
Thank you. Thank you for the voter ID portion of that. You know, I joked the other day, I went to a bourbon festival downtown, and when I got the email about it, it said when you show up to get your tickets, you have to have a photo ID with you. And I'm thinking, you have to have a photo ID to do anything these days, and we got people that complain that you need a photo ID to vote. That amazes me.
Well, you know, the way you look, they needed an ID to make sure you were 21.
Thank you. Thank you, kind sir. I appreciate it.
Are you still hearing any concerns from people just over this, the election being secure here in Missouri? I know you're talking about having the ID. What do you say, you know, to those concerns?
Well, we still do hear some of that. The number one thing I say to that is sign up to be a poll worker, sign up to be a poll watcher, a poll challenger. Come and see how our elections are done. Come behind the curtain, if you will. We want transparency because we trust the election results. And frankly, I have a little bit of a special thing that I can tell people. I was on the ballot in August, didn't do very well, and yet I trust the results because I know how things are run. So when we talk about how our elections are run, when we answer people's questions, when they see what's going on, that takes care of them, and suddenly they realize we do have credible elections in Missouri.
Yeah, I mean, I know that 2020 changed a lot of things in terms of the way we vote, but I mean, this is really something kind of new for a lot of people, right? To be able to go 2 weeks early and vote like this.
It is. I've always been a vote on election day guy. I prefer that. I think the gold standard is paper ballot, in person on election day, get those results by 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. But this was a compromise that had to be made to get photo ID, to outlaw drop boxes, to make the paper ballot the official ballot. So we've done it. And I do think it's good to move as many people as possible from voting absentee by mail to voting in person.
This has to be one of the longer ballots, right? Mark was saying St. Louis County has, yes, what, 43 issues that you're voting
yeah,
for, Mark?
43 different things you have to vote on in St. Louis County.
Extremely long ballot. It will take longer than normal voting just because it will take longer to read everything. Want to encourage everybody to get that sample ballot. You can use that as your own little cheat sheet or crib sheet. Get that sample ballot. Decide how you want to vote. And you can mark it on that sample ballot and take that with you to your polling place.
You know, I'd always encourage people to go to your website, sos.mo.gov, because, you know, I did the research. I put out a voter guide. It's out there for people on our website. And your website gave me the resources I needed to do it, because I could go there for myself and read through each one of the full ballot language. I mean, not just the ballot language, but the full amendment, which most people are never going to do. Some of these things are long. Others are two pages. I mean, but unless you read it for yourself, you're not really going to fully understand what you're voting on here.
I appreciate you doing that. It's great to talk about reading the actual language. And it takes time. It's legalese. Not everyone's an attorney. Most of us don't want to be attorneys. But it helps to read it, to digest it, and be informed voters. I trust the people of the state that when they have the facts, they make great decisions.
Yeah, if we can just get them to kind of tune in here, pay attention, seems to be the key. And on these propositions, I mean, you've got six amendments and that statewide proposition on top of that, right?
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, you know, we've got the minimum wage proposition and then everything from multiple things about gambling to how are we paying for sheriff's retirements, to whether or not we want to enshrine abortion. People need to read it.
Yeah, five amendments, one proposition. And then in St. Louis County, you've got three more to vote on. In St. Charles County, there's some on there. It's a long ballot. Take your time. And Jay, I'm sure we'll be having you on. Are you expecting Missouri results on Election Day?
Oh, yes. I would be extremely shocked if we didn't have that. We've had election results by probably 10 o'clock at night for the last almost 8 years now. We expect to do that. Unless there's a race where there's a one or two vote difference, then, of course, when they're really close, we've got to go back and check everything.
Yeah, you need to call up that Brad Raffensperger guy down in Georgia and tell him to get results that day.
I'm sorry. I apologize to the country for that.
Jay Ashcroft, always great having you on, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft. Yeah, Georgia's like, it could be 4 days later till we have results. Are you kidding me? You're a swing state. That's not what we need. Coming up, it's 2A Tuesday. Talk about a recent Supreme Court decision. We'll be right back.
So you're out hunting pheasants.
Yep.
Is that enough to convince people there's a middle ground on this issue? Because right now, right-wingers are coming after you for how you handle your shotgun.
Well, I can shoot better than all of them. I can.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double-barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
All right, Aiden Johnston on the phone with us this morning, Federal Affairs Director at Gun Owners of America and himself a proud St. Louisan. Aiden, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Welcome back. I don't know. I'd put my man card up against Tim Walz any day on the shooting range.
Oh, my goodness. I know. He thinks he's such a great shot, but he couldn't even unload his own shotgun. Like, what the heck?
That was a pretty shocking video. And them continuing to talk about it on The View is not helping the Democrats and their argument on that issue at all. I don't know who they think they're appealing to.
No, I have no idea either. I mean, I can't believe he's just proud of that moment. this guy wants to take away your firearms, and he pretends like he's a hunter. And, I mean, who cares? He wants to take away your firearms.
Yeah, thank you. They would absolutely do that given the opportunity, I know. You know, I follow these issues nationwide, and something has occurred in a courtroom somewhere regarding guns. I know Gun Owners of America has been all over it. And I wanted to ask you about this Supreme Court decision regarding Pennsylvania that happened. They overturned a lower court decision from Pennsylvania that allowed residents under 21 to carry firearms in public. What can you tell me about that case?
Right. So the case was about whether an 18 to 20 year old would be able to carry a firearm in public during a state of emergency. Initially, the lower courts in a 3-judge panel had ruled that the law prohibiting 18 to 20 year olds from carrying violated their Second Amendment rights. And that's correct. And then allowed 18 to 20 year olds to be able to carry a firearm. And the government appealed that to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court did what's called grant, vacate, and remanding. So they granted the case, they vacated the good ruling, and then they said, hey, 3-judge panel, go figure it out again. And so if that concerns you, it should, at least a little bit. There's two ways you can interpret it. First is that the Supreme Court didn't like that ruling, and they're actually won an anti-gun ruling from this 3-judge panel. And so that's what's going on here. Or the second is that they just didn't like the reasoning that the court used and that they want the panel to re-decide it. And the reason you might think that is because the Supreme Court just did an 8-1 decision this summer called Rahimi. And in Rahimi, they laid out a new reasoning for how to interpret these cases. So there's two things that could be going on. But unfortunately, this win for the Second Amendment is vacated for the time being.
I wonder how all of the 18 to 20-year-olds currently serving in our military who might end up, carrying a weapon in an actual war zone feel about coming back home and then during a state of emergency not being allowed to carry a weapon. That's un-American.
No, it's horrible, and I mean, it's unconscionable that the government would give you a machine gun and send you out to die, but they won't actually let you have a handgun to protect yourself. I mean, you can have a family at 18. You can own a home at 18. Like, you can be living your life and then not be able to exercise your Second Amendment for another few years. And I think that's crazy. So this is not a GOA case, but we're fighting it. We fought a similar case in Virginia in state court, and we actually won as well. So regarding the right of 18 to 20-year-olds to purchase firearms, purchase handguns, rather. So I think this ruling is disappointing. I'm not sure what we're going to see from the Supreme Court in the coming years. You know, they did the Bruin decision two summers ago, and that was an amazing win for gun rights. But it seems like the win in that case was almost too conservative for some of the members of the court, and they're trying to walk it back with decisions like Rahimi. And this just, to me personally, seems to tend in that direction. Now, like I said, there's two ways you could interpret it, and there is a potentially good way to interpret what happened here. But we'll know more as the Supreme Court starts issuing more of these opinions, whether they're going to be totally pro-gun, totally anti-gun, which is unlikely, or just somewhere in between, which is also not great for the Second Amendment, but at least we'll hopefully start seeing stuff like assault weapons bans struck down.
Right, right. Well, you, Aiden Johnson, our guest here from Gun Owners of America, I also noticed, you know, the Supreme Court, sometimes they disappoint me that they're not stronger after Heller and Bruin and some of these other decisions of knocking down some of these ridiculous cases. This Massachusetts law may be the next example of that. I hope this is something that lands in the Supreme Court, because they've now instituted a new law. The governor signed an emergency preamble up there to make sure it went into effect immediately so nobody could try to block it. What does that one regard?
Well, so this Massachusetts law is basically the mother of all gun control. We're talking an expansion of red flag gun confiscation laws, a total semi-automatic weapons ban, and a magazine capacity limit. I think there was some sort of grandfather. But, I mean, this semi-auto ban affected shotguns, right? Like Tim Walz's shotgun. So this is a crazy amount of gun control. There was about a dozen things that this bill did to restrict your Second Amendment rights. And it just got signed over the summer, and it was supposed to go into effect later this year. And all of us pro-gun groups were over there trying to get a ballot initiative so that we could put it on the ballot in November and we could have it overturned with a ballot veto.
Right.
And the governor just put it into effect right away because, you know, the governor is just a total tyrant and wants to enforce this gun control before and make everyone a criminal before we could ever even have an actual vote on the issue. So this is a really huge problem for any gun owner in Massachusetts. I mean, Massachusetts is not a friendly state towards gun owners. It's been very hard for a long time. But, I mean, this just is a whole new level of awful. Yeah. And so that's why we're going to be teaming up with all the other groups in Massachusetts and hopefully filing a lawsuit. I won't name names because I don't think it's finalized yet, at least I didn't hear from our legal department. But hopefully you should see a big lawsuit there with all of the gun rights groups sort of aligned on one team. And I would love to see the Supreme Court take it up. I think that would be quite important. But really, we've got to get those people out to vote and vote for this ballot initiative.
Yeah.
And maybe hopefully make our lawsuit invalid.
Well, I hope so. I mean, thank you for fighting the good fight, for sure. Gunowners.org is the website. You can always go there and find out more about that. Aiden Johnson, always great to have you on. Thank you.
Thanks. It's been great.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon. Appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, it's Massachusetts. It's the home of the Kennedys. What do you really expect up there? But what we need is the Supreme Court to get this needs to be challenged, get it to the Supreme Court and let them smack it down, because this one really is an infringement on your Second Amendment rights.
You know, I know that the latest polls are looking good for Donald Trump, but I wonder if gun sales are going up. Just people worried, what if Kamala were elected? And I know she's she claims she's not wanting to take people's guns away, but we know she has absolutely said that in the past, and nothing would stop her from trying to do that again. But I would have to imagine that, especially around such a big presidential election, people are going to make sure that they're going out and buying guns, right?
It's true. It's true. I know that for a fact, to gun shop owners that I've spoken to, not just at the range, but even on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Bo Matthews and I were having a conversation the other day with Doc from Doc's Guns down in Eureka. They've seen an increase in traffic. People are worried about it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and with crime numbers up, we knew they were up, right? The government's lying to us, telling us they're down 2%. Actually, it was 6 points the other way. and they're up 4%.
Yeah, and just all these illegals. I mean, you hear the saying every state's a border state, but it really is. I mean, I was talking yesterday for Kim on a Whim about that small town of 18,000 in Indiana that the population has increased by 30% just by people from, I think it's Haiti in that case, who have come over to that community.
It's crazy.
That's insane.
What are we whimming on today?
Oh, these days it's hard to trust really any pictures you find on the internet because they can be so easily doctored, but there is this iconic picture of Trump now that's going around, and wait until you hear the lengths Newsweek went to try to prove it's AI.
We'll be back in just a minute. That's two words, by the way.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Well, that was the scene at the Steelers game when Trump stopped by. Of course, he worked his McDonald's shift. Then he did a town hall. Yes. Then he went to the Steelers game. Everyone's chanting, as you heard, USA. Well, Newsweek, they respond to this picture that was posted on social media of Trump wearing the Steelers uniform with these bulging biceps to the point where you can see his veins busting out because he's so buff. And here's what Newsweek decides to put on social media in relation to that image. It says, Donald Trump has shared what is likely an AI-generated image on his Truth Social account showing him as a player for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What? You mean it's not real? He doesn't actually play for the Steelers?
Really him?
I am stunned. Thank you, Newsweek, for pointing that out, because I think all of us thought that was real.
When
I need Newsweek
on
to clarify these things.
On Twitter, or X, or whatever you want to call it, the comments roasting the author of that were hilarious. They showed a picture of her. She looks like a 24-year-old child. Clearly a Trump hater, suggested that he used AI on his own, putting his own head on the body of a Pittsburgh player who also happened to, by the way, had the number 47 on his chest. And therefore, he's guilty of somehow misleading people that he's really in private a 78-year-old starter for the for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Somebody posted a picture of Trump with the ball running down the field. I mean, in a full suit with the red tie, Ronald McDonald is next to him trying to tackle him. And the caption is this real? Like, I get that pictures are doctored so much now, and there are ones that have fooled me where I really have to study it. And I'm like, I can't tell. It's hard because AI has made things where, I mean, you can make something look extremely, extremely realistic, which is why this is so funny, because this is so obviously fake. And of course, the media has to run out there and make sure that they point out that he likely appeared not to actually be in the Steelers uniform with the bulging biceps.
But, you know, it would be funny. It is funny, but it's also sad that we're having to have this conversation. It's like posting something from the Babylon Bee and having somebody get offended because they think it's real. It's satire. When did we lose our ability to laugh at things? Donald Trump didn't post that on there because he thought somebody might actually vote for him because they thought he played for Pittsburgh. Come on.
But you know what, Mark? We have such low information voters. There actually might be someone out there who sees that picture. Maybe they somehow think it's real. And they're like, you know what? I love the Steelers. I'm voting for Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Are any of you listening right now, are you undecided voters? Because I would really like to talk to you. Can I just make one comment? That girl who wrote it totally looks like she's 24. You know, I hope she's not getting too much hate personally, because a lot of the hate should be directed to Newsweek.
Or to her editor who said, go do a story on this.
Yes, they allowed this. They may have assigned this to her. So I hope she's not getting a bunch of people writing to her. This is embarrassing for Newsweek.
Took it deadly serious. Like, we can verify that he was there, but he was wearing a suit with a red tie.
He doesn't play for the team.
He didn't have a football jersey on. It must be fake. These people are just complete morons, aren't they? Unbelievable. Coming up, our debate right here after the top of the hour on Amendment 3. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened.
Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.